Welcome to the second podcast of the 9th edition of the Royal College of General Practitioners Essential Knowledge Updates program. This is such a tricky sentence to get right, especially with a German accent. My name is Dr. Dirk Pilat, and I'm the clinical lead for the project. Here at EKU headquarters, spring has finally sprung, the sparrows are busy building nests under our roofs, and in my practice at the East End of London, the amount of patients with severe hay fever symptoms has suddenly exploded. I presume this is a nice change from autumn's flu and RSV epidemics and winter's respiratory disasters. Speaking of disasters, today's podcast is all about a problem that is getting more prevalent for all of us, and that's the growing amount of older patients with substance misuse problems. For EKU 9, we identified the Royal College of Psychiatrists report by the Older Persons Substance Misuse Working Group that made for very sober reading. Dr. Declan Fox, a general practitioner and cognitive therapist working in Northern Ireland and Canada, has a special interest in mental health and converted the report into an EKU module. I asked him via not particularly good Skype line what he thought about the report.
Okay, right. Now, the thing that hit me in the early parts of this report, the sheer scale of the problem. You sit in the surgery and you see the old folks coming in and they're on multiple medications and the computer is flashing up warnings of interactions. So many of them are on sleeping pills and an antidepressant and maybe a major tranquilizer as well. And really, from this report, it makes it clear that that's actually only the tip of the iceberg. We're seeing some horrific figures here. Number of over 65 with substance misuse problems set to double over a period of 19 years, 2001 to 2020. Deaths from alcohol, deaths from tobacco, and actually there's a fairly high rate of alcohol-related deaths in the 55 to 74-year-old age group, which, you know, is something you don't really think about because you tend to think of young men going out, getting messed up with alcohol, illegal drugs, and wrapping their cars around the lamp. Quite horrific. And then You've got all the over-counter stuff as well. I mean, if you take, say, 10 or a dozen of the ordinary cocodamol.
And adding to that, that they are likely to be on chronic disease management medication, such as antidiabetics, antihypertensives, and disease-modifying drug, you have a powerful polypharmacological cocktail.
Absolutely, yeah. And later on in the guideline, it also makes clear about how older people, physiologically, they're different as regards alcohol. They don't handle alcohol as well, and probably a lot of other medications as well. I guess we'll mention research in a moment or the lack of it. But just coming back to the extent of the problem, there's a couple of other quite horrific things which I didn't know about. Illicit drug use, they're talking about how the numbers are going up in the over 40s. That's, you're kind of talking about the sort of the 40s and the 50s, that age group. And the common one, the common street one they're using in that sort of 40 to 60 age group is heroin, plus or minus crack cocaine, which again I would have thought would have been kind of by that age they'd be mostly either dead or they'd have gotten off it. That's quite a horrific figure as well.
We're probably the victims of our own success there, because we've been able to keep so many of the addicts alive to a certain age, of course. But we of course hoped that by now they would have been on stabilized.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's some of that in it as well. Then we've got, again, there's the elephant in the room feel about when I read about how older people get the biggest share of total prescribing, and there's a potentially inappropriate 10% of this is described as potentially inappropriate.
Well, we have one of the other modules for EKU9 is actually on benzodiazepines.
Yeah.
Of course, the amount of benzodiazepine overprescribing in the over 60s is absolutely unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
So there you have your additional source of uncertainty for the whole polypharmacology thing again. So how would you go about of identifying patients who are at risk?
Well, you could be I suppose if I was a gung-ho young MRC GP candidate, I'd be saying everybody. but I suppose, you know, to try and kind of slice out the ones who are particularly at risk, I suppose the weak, frail old people, those with cognitive dysfunction, those who are on various other medications, particularly antidepressants and particularly peripheral pain medication, you know, the tramadol, the codeine and so on. Those people, and of course the people who are taking maybe some type of benzodiazepine or a Z drug for sleep. But yeah, and then we've got the whole thing about as well. I mentioned there, or alluded there, to people with cognitive dysfunction. The other thing that that the report brings out in the early pages, the rates of misuse of medication, be it prescription or over the counter, and you can be talking about accidental misuse. You know, taking a doubling up their dose of sleeping pill to get them through the night, or doubling up their painkillers. But you've also got accidental misuse, and particularly those with fairly mild degrees of cognitive impairment are quite likely to forget what they've taken, and it can work both ways. They maybe forget to take the correct dose, or they're not sure they've taken the correct dose and they double up.
What struck me is that there is actually very little research on treatment of over 65 substance misusers. So what should we do if we identified some of our patients?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think what evidence we have shows that in general, older people do as well as younger people with treatment. The availability of a fairly sophisticated rehab and detox and so on, it's still quite limited when you take the over 65s.
Yeah, because probably the whole of health policy in that area is focused on the younger ones, isn't it?
We're dealing here with structural problems as well, because the report also points out about how, I'm jumping ahead a wee bit here, about the provision of substance misuse services for older people. The UK is actually way behind the USA in this field. There are very few models. The voluntary sector is advocating better services, and there's a good report from Age Concern. At the bottom of my first slide here on treatment, I say consensus view is older people should have the same access to treatment as to younger people. And I think that's something we probably should be flagging up if we're getting involved in commissioning. That's something we should be flagging up with the providers. If these commissioning groups are able to do anything at all, you know, I think reminding our colleagues who are sitting on them, yeah, listen, there's a big problem here, and we're probably going to be in this. As one of my consultants used to say, he was in his early 60s, you know, the geriatric problem becomes more disturbing as you get older, because you see yourself being a part of that problem. But yeah, I think as we get older, we probably think a bit more of this. So yeah, I mean, I think commissioning, if it works, I'm not sure if it will work or not. We tried it here in the western part of Northern Ireland about nearly 20 years ago, and I don't know if it made a lot of difference or not. There's the possibility that we may be able to influence the provision of services a bit. Other than that, I think two things. One is to think occasionally about this problem when you've got an older person who's maybe going a bit off, and there's polypharmacy in the wings, as there always is. You know, think, is there some kind of substance misuse going on here? Maybe it's just a bad mixture of prescription medications. Maybe they're popping the cocodamol at home. Maybe they've got the neighbour's benzo. Maybe they're secret drinkers. Maybe there's a bit of cognitive decline there. Just to think from time to time when we've got an older person who's not doing too well. And the second thing is, the brief interventions for alcohol problems, that how they seem to reduce mortality. You know, that's something we can do from time to time. It's as I say, if we're busy and we're overworked with all kinds of other people, I mean, we're not going to be able to spend several hours a day dealing specifically with invisible addicts. But there's a couple of things there that we can possibly do.
And there we go. Not a particularly optimistic assessment from Dr. Fuchs, but then the scale of the problem is overwhelming. The report mentions that in the UK and Europe, the number of over 65s with substance misuse problems is set to double until 2020. So, in one of the next podcasts, we will be talking about how to reduce benzodiazepine prescribing in general practice, which will very likely tie in nicely with today's podcast. This was the second EKU9 podcast. It was produced with the help of Audacity, the free and open audio editor. The music that you heard at the beginning was by Matt Bianco, who kindly gave their permission for its use. My name is Dirk Pilat. Goodbye.